Hello and welcome to Connecting to Host, your co-op and multiplayer gaming podcast. On the last episode, we talked about Elite Dangerous, and today we're going to be talking about Cuphead, recently released on PC and Xbox One. Cuphead is a classic run-and-gun action game heavily focused on boss battles. Inspired by cartoons of the 1930s, the visuals and audio are painstakingly created with the same techniques from the era. You can pick it up on PC for £15 or €20 on Steam, and it's £17 or €20 on Xbox Play Anywhere. So you can buy it on the Microsoft Store and play it on PC or Xbox One. Although the PC version has some issues, I believe, if you purchase it that way.
Yeah, it seems to have some frame rate issues, as games from the Windows Store oft do.
I'm sure they'll fix it at some point, but if you're going to play it on PC, you probably want to buy it on PC. On Steam, sorry. We've both been playing it locally on a Windows 10 gaming PC. We bought it through Steam and haven't had any problems at all with frame rate or anything. So, playing it on a nice 1080p screen today. Not anywhere near our usual high fidelity gaming experience, but
no, it's one of those games where even if you play it at 720p, it still looks the same, which is partly the art style, which I'll talk about now.
Yeah.
So the main draw of the game really is the art style of a 1930s cartoon. It's got that rubbery movement where people bounce up and down as they're like moving around. It's got film grain effect, but every single animation has been hand-drawn by an artist, so it's taken a very, very long time and really does look very, very good for it. It's essentially a 2D platforming run-and-gun game. Some levels are run-and-gun levels. Other ones are big boss fights where you're basically on a single screen and there's quite a steep difficulty curve. They'll go through various waves of attacks that you gradually learn and get a little bit further before you die, and then restart and die and restart and die and repeat a few hundred times, and then you win and you think, yay, awesome, and then there's a harder boss and then you do it again. So your character can shoot, jump, dodge and duck. They also have a parry move, which is activated when you press the jump button at the right time with any pink item. So basically, even projectiles shot by enemies or little characters, if they're pink, you can jump on them. As you damage enemies, a special little meter fills up that's represented by a pack of cards, and this can be used to fire a special weapon that does more damage. And if you have a full bar, you can do a super attack which does even more damage, sort of. We sort of did some tests on that, and it seems that if you use the big super weapon, it actually does less damage than 5 shots from a regular weapon.
Yeah, I think it's equivalent to about 3 or 4 shots from the regular super, but I guess it's nice to just get it all out in one go. So
yeah. So it works well. There's a shop run by an animated German pig. I think he is German. It just when I first heard it, I thought it went "Willkommen," but he doesn't. He says "Welcome," but he's a pig, so it's "Welcome." He's got a good voice.
Yeah,
he's a good
character. Pork Rind.
Pork Rind's Emporium. Amazing. So you can go to his shop with the tokens that you find in the run and gun sections, and they allow you to buy new weapons because you can switch between them. So you can have a primary and a secondary, and to switch between, so you might want a long-range and a short-range weapon. There's also charms, which are essentially buffs that apply throughout the game, such as a faster special meter or an extra hit point for your character. And the levels and the boss fights are all connected via a beautiful overworld that you walk around, and it's got a few secrets, and levels are scored at the end based on health specials, the amount of time you took, difficulty rating, and these can be retried as much as you want, so you can just wander through the overworld and try again at a boss fight that you maybe got a C rank in and try and get like a B minus in our case. Or maybe the lofty heights of B.
Surviving was usually enough to make me happy.
But yeah, I think the worst one I ever got was like a D. It was like
scraped through.
You passed, but barely. Anyway, multiplayer wise, how does it differ?
Yeah, so here on Connecting to Host, we always focus on the co-op and the multiplayer component, of which there is only one. I mean, that sounds small, but you can play through the entire game in local co-op. So there's no online co-op for Cuphead, which I think makes sense given the Twitch mechanics at play. Yeah. I think it would be very hard to play it if there was any lag whatsoever.
A lot of precision required.
Yeah, and you'd be swearing a lot at how unfair it is. So there's two-player local co-op, And it's a drop-in, drop-out. So the main player will continue the campaign that they're playing, and player two can just pick up a pad, drop in at any point, play a few levels, and drop out again if they want to later. So you can both run around the world map and trigger the events, go into the shop and trigger that kind of sequence. And the cool thing is that player two just inherits the same total amount of coins that player one had, but can then respend them all from scratch on whatever power-ups they want. So if player two drops in after a couple of hours of gameplay, you've hit world two, you've got 10 coins, say, player two drops in, you can go to the shop and buy the power-ups they want. So,
I think it saves between games. So if we picked it up now and you played single player for a bit, and then I dropped in, I don't start with like the base level and I'd have like however many tokens. I think it would remember where I was the last time I dropped in.
I'd have my unlocked
power-ups, because that's what happened when we dropped in yesterday and you played it for a bit without me. And I dropped back in. You hadn't got any further, to be fair. So
nope.
I can't test that.
But you have
just
the same,
died a few more times.
Yeah, it saves your configuration then.
Yeah,
so
I think
it saves
so.
Player 1 and Player 2. But they're always going to be the same level, which is nice.
Yeah.
So. Then the gameplay itself, I mean, it's very much the same as a single player when there's two of you, apart from there's two of you. But there's no friendly fire, which is would be insane if there was. So you can both spaff bullets at the enemies. And the bosses have a lot more health. So
I think it is literally just doubled.
Double, cool. So I mean, the levels tend to last a bit longer because but there's two of you, so you can fend off the bad guys a little bit better, especially if there's mooks flying around the screen. You both have your own life count, so you both start each level with 3 lives, unless you've got power-ups that change that, and you lose lives separately, and you both have your own special meter. So every time you do a parry, your separate special meter goes up. The interesting mechanic that I think is really cool is that when a player dies, they turn into a ghost that has a little pink heart inside. And if you parry that pink heart before the ghost goes off the top of the screen, then you get to bring the other player back to life. So there's a revive mechanic. And the more you die, the faster that ghost moves up the screen. So it's not something you can continually do forever, because with so much action going on, it's hard enough when it's going up at the slow speed.
Yeah.
When it zooms up the screen after 3 or 4 deaths, you're basically screwed. But it's really nice, because it means that you don't end up, especially in a sort of bullet hell game, where typically one player might die before or after the other frequently, even if you're both the same skill, because it's the sort of game where you die a lot, right?
Yeah.
But it gives you a chance to take a risk, because typically going to save your friend requires you to sort of jump through some bullets or to get to the other side of the screen. But when you do, you get the reward that there's still two of you to keep dishing out damage.
And you also, because it counts as a parry, you get an extra card in your special meter. So you can instantly do a special attack straight after as well.
Yeah.
So you get kind of like a double bonus. But then sometimes if you miss, you might have just walked into death. So it's tricky, especially later on when you've both got 1 hit point each and you're just constantly in a cycle of one of you dies, you revive the other one, then they die and they revive you, and then you die and then they revive you again, and you just keep jumping back onto each other until you're off the screen.
And that sort of, at first, you feel like it's a bit cheap, because you're like, oh man, we just keep bringing each other back. But actually, you're only dying because you're bringing the other player back.
Doesn't help that much.
No. And if you get into that cycle of reviving, it probably means you've lost already.
And you remember that level where the gravity was inverted in places? But the gravity wasn't inverted for your ghost dying. So when they died, you were already at the top of the screen and they just went straight up. And it's like, ah.
Yeah.
Or you were upside down trying to hit something that's moving the other way and didn't work at all.
Trying to double jump when you're jumping down.
Yeah.
And bounce off something, that's pretty tough. But, I mean, there's not much more to say about the multiplayer, really. You can just play through the whole game. Nothing apart from the difficulty changes with two of you. Enemies track, like the boss enemies, their attacks tend to sort of switch between you both, the tracking, which mixes up the level a bit. Maybe they're a bit less predictable, but there's two of you, so one of you can take the aggro while the other one jumps around the screen trying to do some damage. So, but it's very rare that having two players felt like it was giving us a huge advantage.
Yeah.
You both have to stay alive and dodge a lot of shit on the screen. So
there were some levels where we even just one of us dropped out to get through it, because I think this would be easier in single player, because with two there's a lot going on.
It's very hard
to see what we're doing.
Definitely. So. Cool, so let's move on to our likes and dislikes. Let's kick off with the likes, and if you don't mind, sir, I'll start. Just touching on the difficulty, following on really from what we were saying, it's a difficult but fair game overall. One of those games where most of the time when you die, you feel like it's because you made a mistake, you're in the wrong part of the screen, you didn't predict an attack. The odd time we shouted bullshit at the screen. No controller throwing, but close. But most of the time, we felt like it was our own fault.
Yeah.
And it's well balanced in co-op. So it felt like, I think some of the levels are probably slightly easier, some are slightly harder, but overall, I think the game retained roughly the same difficulty. If anything, it was probably slightly harder overall with two of us because of just trying to track all the bullets on the screen. You know, you need to dodge things a lot, right? And when there's another 50 friendly bullets on the screen, even though they can't hurt you, it's more clutter to sort of filter out with your brain.
And also, if one of you dies and you don't revive them, then you're tasked with killing something that is twice as hard as it is in single player on your own.
Yeah.
So not only is it more difficult because you don't have your partner with you, but they've got just a huge amount of hit points that they're going to soak up damage from single player. You might have got through that wave in like 20 seconds, and this is going to take you probably at least 40.
Yeah,
you've got
a
lot more dodging and shooting to do.
But so it worked really well. Tricky. The co-op experience worked
well. Oh, yeah, a great experience.
Cool. What's your first light, Ben?
My one is the aeroplane level. So there are a couple of levels where you get in like a little plane, and the mechanics are much the same. You have a specific weapon that you use. You don't get to choose. And later on, it unlocks like a bomb one as well that you can switch between. But you can, instead of a dodge move, you shrink down and just your weapon is basically ineffective, but you're tiny and you can move around quicker, so you can dodge stuff. But I really liked those levels because they just mixed things up a bit. They kept it fresh without being anything too crazy. It was still the basic same mechanics, but you're flying now, and so you're dealing with like a big bird enemy or a giant moon face thing. It's pretty crazy. But I really like those levels. I thought they're quite good, just a nice way of keeping it fresh.
Mm.
The sort of thing that I can imagine if they were to do extra levels, which I don't think they will just because of the amount of time it takes to make each one because of the hand animation.
Yeah.
But I could see them doing like underwater levels or something, like now you're in little submarines or something like Lilac Wars had.
Yeah.
Or now you're in a little car, or you know, there's all different ways you could do it without having more of exactly the same, but it's still the same. You still have the parry mechanic. Everything works much the same way. One of the cool things about that as well is the super, when you turn into like a giant bomb and then you just drive into and just smack it. So yeah,
and that's kind of nice, that super, because you have to maneuver yourself into the bad guy.
Yeah,
and then you get a couple of seconds of invulnerability, right? But and when you hit a mook on the way, then you're like, oh, damn it, I wasted my super. But it's nice, like a little bit of jeopardy to the whole thing. So.
But they're good. They're good levels. Just a nice way of mixing it up so you're not just constantly Cuphead and Mugman.
Yeah. Taking a little sip out of your straw at the start of every level.
Oh, that I should have mentioned that in my dislikes. Cuphead, the titular character, he's just normal. He's got a cup for a head, obviously, and he's got like something white sloshing around in there. Mugman's the same, but he's got like more of a mug-shaped head than a cup. And at the beginning, for some inexplicable reason, before every fight, he pulls a little straw out of his head and just has a big slurp of whatever liquid is sloshing around in his head. And something about it creeps me out. It's like, that's not right.
It's just a bit weird and twisted. But
yeah, creepy.
Anyway, that leads on quite nicely to my next like, which is talking about mixing it up. And that's just overall variety in the game. I mean, so there's in each world, of which there are three, there are, I guess, about five boss battles and then two of the coin-grabbing levels.
Yep. And the mausoleum.
And then the mausoleum, yes, where you get to practice your parrying skills.
Yep.
But, I mean, there's variety on many different levels. So at the top, like the top level, all the battles feel very different. There's a lot of new mechanics that come into play. Sometimes you might have to parry a special thing on the screen and it might have a certain effect. The attack patterns, just the general look and feel, will be very different between different levels.
Mm.
The way the boss battle progresses, some bosses might have kind of minions that come out, but they're random, so you're not always going to get the same ones in the same order. It just feels like there's a lot of very different mechanics at play, and when you come to a new boss battle and it's got a new mechanic, learning and enjoying that mechanic is a really big part of the experience for me.
Yeah.
Taking the variety down a level or two as well, there's also, because you've got so many different weapons. So many. There's like six different weapons.
I think there's six weapons, six charms, and three super things.
Yeah. And you can go into each battle with two weapons, one charm and a super. So you get to configure your character for each boss battle slightly differently. So as you learn the mechanics of a boss, you're probably going to go back to the world map, switch up your configuration and go back in, hopefully slightly more optimal. Yep. But learning the weapons and their super is also... I like exploring and discovering things, and there's a lot to explore and discover in this game.
It's also good in co-op because then you can essentially have four weapons. Because quite often I'd go in with maybe my charged shotgun and you'd be like, oh, that's such a really good way of doing that wave of that attack for that specific boss. Yeah. Maybe I'll use that one as well. That'll help out. Or we'd have the little short-range one and be like, oh, this is rubbish for this boss. let's change this. Or, oh, let's change my charm to be extra hit point rather than faster supers because the super isn't really damaging it. So there's a lot of, as you say, variation, a lot of mixing up that is even better in co-op because you can experience what those other weapons or supers are like without necessarily doing it yourself. You can see what your friend is using and then go, oh, okay, yeah, that works that way. I'll try that myself. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Cool. My last like is just, well, A, the visual style is phenomenally good. You've never seen a game look like this. The fact that you can play it at like 720p and it looks identical to it at 1080 or 4K because there's just, because there's like this grainy effect. Everything still looks sharp and nice, but it looks exactly right, and it just looks like a 1930s cartoon come to life. Incredibly well done. But a large part of that is, aside from the animation and all the stuff that people talk about, the biggest part for me is the soundtrack and the music, which is like this 1920s jazz, which is all recorded with a live orchestra, a live big brass band and stuff, and vocalists. And it's a huge soundtrack. It's got something like 50 or 60 tracks. You can buy it separately. I think it's about £6-7 on Steam. And it's just fantastic. It really makes it feel more energetic. And it's got some very clever cuts because the music will subtly change in like tone or tempo between each wave of a boss fight. So on the soundtrack, it might be like a 5-minute track that naturally just progresses through bits. But in the game, they do very clever stuff with sound effects to mask the cut as they go from like a, you know, this is the wave one part of the track to the wave two part of the track. And it's really enjoyable. Really, really nice soundtrack.
Just touching on the visual style, I love the design of some of the bosses is inspired.
Yeah, and, they are.
The way they evolve throughout the fight and the way they twitch.
Absolutely
change.
Mental. some of them are weird. So creepy, like that. It wasn't a witch, she's just like a...
The sweet lady?
No, I'm thinking of the one in the sky where she's just like flying along. She's like an astrologer and like she'll do something with the stars and then like a star sign will come to life and fight you. So you get like three or four different star signs that you'll randomly fight out of two. And then at the end she just turns into a half crescent moon with like a big mechanical face and it's like, what? What's going on?
It's like someone was high when they designed some of these monsters, surely.
Another favourite one of mine is when you're fighting in the veg patch and first of all you fight a big potato and he just spits like soil and worms at you and then you defeat him and it's always great when they die, like the expressions they have, like proper like 1930s, like someone just got hit on the head with a hammer type thing. That kind of like big red bump pops out the head and like the little tears. And then it was an onion, a big onion that just bursts into tears and there's just like rain falling from the sky that you have to dodge. And then the last one is just this carrot that for some reason fires little chantilly carrots at you and then uses like its mind power and a third eye opens up to shoot beams at you. What's going on? It's super fun because you don't know what's going to come up next. There's not like a natural progression, like you don't expect what the third and final form of a boss is going to be. Or some of them have like 6 or 7 forms they go through, very long things. That's actually something to mention that I really like as well, is when you die it shows you how far you were to get into the end. It's got like a little progress bar where it shows you like a little dash to show where each wave was.
Little flag, right? Like a little flag post and your guy runs down the
it literally tree. Runs down, animates down, and it'll show one for each of you so you can see where the first person died or where the second did. And you can like literally see that you were like 98% of the way to killing the boss. You're like, no. And it's a great way of making you want to play it again and just restart it again. Because you can measurably tell that you're getting better.
Yeah.
Because there's no health bars, you don't see hit points or anything like that. It's literally just that. but you can see an improvement. You're like, okay, got to try it again. Got to try it again.
I think that's actually really important for something where... So there's a pool in the game which tells you how many times you died. And granted, now we started this from scratch, so this is just us in the last 2 days. We died 413 times, I think.
Yep.
In 4 hours of gameplay.
Yep.
So when you're dying that frequently on the boss fights, it's really important to have some measure that you're getting better. And it's nice that most bosses are broken down into many stages.
Yeah.
Because getting to a new stage feels like you're progressing. But when you get stuck on a stage, having those flags shows you're actually getting better over time, which is really nice.
So. A typical boss fight literally takes 2 minutes.
Yeah, if you're good. Not long. If you know what you...
Two minutes is about the average time. Yeah. Some are longer, some are shorter. But 2 minutes... So most of the time you die around the 1 minute mark, really.
Yeah,
1 minute,
yeah.
10 seconds. So it's very, very fast paced. Reload straight away. Apparently that's something that's a problem with the Xbox version, is that the load times are horrendous.
Really?
When you load up a new boss battle, like on our game it takes 3 seconds.
Yeah.
On the Xbox it takes like 20 seconds. It doesn't when you reload.
Oh, okay.
So if just you die and just restart the battle, it's instantaneous, like it's on PC.
Yeah, okay.
But it's just that load time. When you go from the overworld to a boss, it's like 20 seconds on Xbox.
That's probably frustrating if you go back to the map to change your weapon.
Yeah.
And then go back in the fight,
exactly.
Which you do a few times in a boss fight. Generally, you settle on your configuration a few fights in, but I can picture the first 2 or 3 fights changing weapon going, oh.
I guess that's because you've got a spinning hard drive in the Xbox.
Yeah, and we've got an SSD in here, so.
That's why you should always put your games on an external SSD on the Xbox.
But right, let's move on to our dislikes. Not that many for this game, because there's not...
No.
If it's your style of game, I think it's got a lot going for it. But I will just kick off with something that's... It's not a huge dislike, but I think it's worth mentioning. And because of the way the worlds kind of have checkpoints, maybe halfway through and at the end, you typically end up starting a world, you have lots of different levels you can do, which is nice, because you can try a few bosses. If you get stuck, you can move around. But naturally, when you get to the end of a world... As a kind of consequence of this design, you might just find one boss and you're kind of stuck on them. And at that point, after a half an hour, you're like, I kind of wish I could just fight something else for a bit. Because I'm in that rut where I don't really feel like I'm getting better and I need a break from this boss to go and do something else and then come back and I'll probably do it. But obviously, it's just the nature of the design. And it's not a huge problem, especially because you can switch to easy mode if you really want to. But I feel so... shameful if I were to do that, but I won't do it. I'd rather not play.
My feeling is very much that if you can't beat a specific boss, then you shouldn't get to the next bit, because if you can't beat that boss, you probably can't beat the later ones. I mean, it varies depending on the type, and there might be just a specific skill you need.
Mm-hmm.
But we noticed, so the last boss we did on World 2, big dragon thing, and that was the one that we spent about an hour on.
Yeah.
And then we got to World 3 and we're like, right, let's try out one of these. And we tried it and was like, ooh, that's difficult.
Yeah.
Let's try a different one on World 3. Ooh, that's difficult.
Definitely ramped up.
Has jumped up a notch. So, it's a tricky balancing act, I guess.
Yeah.
Some people will find it easier than others as well. Some people, like, when I first started playing it, it was horrendously difficult. I did not know what I was doing. I just died continuously on the first few boss battles. Now I'm pretty good at it. I've got into it now. But for the first time, I was just terrible. You picked it up pretty quick, but then you like this kind of game. It's more your type of thing.
Yeah, if you're into the kind of Twitch bullet hell stuff, there's a lot of similar patterns that you see. I mean, you know,
it's pattern-based, really, isn't it?
And you kind of recognize them reasonably quick, at least in World 1 and a half of World 2. Then it starts to ramp up to the proper difficult. So what's your dislike, Ben?
My main dislike is, first of all, the tutorial, we didn't mention it, but it's beautifully done. It's like a, almost like a test card or something. Like you go on it and it's got this nice piano music and it's just white background and it shows you the basic mechanics of how to do stuff. And it's really beautifully put together. And the same for when you first get a plane and it explains how that works. But unfortunately, it misses out some incredibly key pieces of information, such as how your superpower works, what the little card icons in the bottom left corner are for. All kinds of stuff is just like missed out. Like when I went to the shop the first time when I played in single player, I bought myself four charms with the money I had. And I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I've got an extra hit point. I get an invisible dash. And my power's going to charge quicker. It's like, oh no, you equip one. And it's like, oh, I hadn't realized they were all charms. Had no idea how it's going to work. Because it didn't explain it before you bought stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You can't sell it back or swap it. And it's like, oh. So I didn't get any good. I didn't get any other weapons for like the first. Until I got to World 2.
Yeah,
You only get a certain number of coins. So that's a bit annoying. It was slightly better for us when you played because I'd already played it and failed through all these things. So I was like, play the story. Isn't it wonderful? It's great. Right. Here's the other bits you need to know that are very crucial.
Yeah.
So yeah, it needs a bit of improvement there. That's the only thing I'd say.
Yeah, it could do with just an extra 10 meters on that level teaching you the rest.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I had the joy of Ben, so maybe we should they should package the game with a 5-minute video of Ben telling you about how to play the rest, so then they'll be sorted. Cool. So
this... Welcome.
Get good. Cool, let's just touch on a couple of final comments before we move on to our conclusions. So I guess I just wanted to mention that the difficulty does ramp up significantly at the end.
Yeah.
I won't go into the details and spoil it for anyone, but you kind of get through World 1. At least I found that very doable. World 2 had some spikes. World 3 gets harder, quite a lot harder. Yeah. And then at the very end, it gets
two final boss fights
incredibly hard.
And the penultimate one is interesting.
Yes. I mean, it's there's a random element involved which can make it not too hard or very hard.
And that's one of the things that I wanted to comment on, which is the randomness in general. I like it because it adds a little bit of unexpectedness to things. It's not just the same thing over and over and over that you're doing. But the problem is, whenever you have randomness, it means there is an element of luck. Sometimes you will fight a boss and it'll be super easy because you get all the easy little mooks that come out. And it's like, oh, okay, great, I got the... what was it? It's like a gumball machine with legs running back and forth.
Yeah,
he's the easy one, rather than the little cake that jumps up and down and splashes everywhere. But then other times, you get all the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Or you just get unlucky with like the little fire things jumping out of the dragon, always hitting you, or just shooting at the wrong time.
Mm.
And so, it's both... This is why it isn't a dislike, because sometimes it can be really good and in your favour. But it's annoying for a game where the majority of the time, when you lose, you feel like it was your fault, because you didn't... Because it's a skill-based game, there is in some of the boss fights a large element of luck that you get the nicer path.
Yeah.
I mean, I could just get better at playing the game. And it wouldn't matter what I get thrown at me, but there is sometimes when you're just like, that could have gone better.
And there were one or two moments where I'm not sure if it was true or not, because you never quite know in these sorts of games. But there were one or two moments where you feel like, huh. Basically, this half of the screen was a place that I would, like, I had no choice but to lose a life here.
Yes.
And, you know, you could maybe argue, well, you should have seen the potential for all these three attacks at once and not been in that half of the screen. But the reality is, you know, you've got to be somewhere. You can't not be in every part of the screen. And it didn't happen often enough to be a dislike, like you say. But there were a couple of times when I felt like, oh, man, I don't think I could have done anything to get out of that because... There was just nowhere I could be that was actually safe.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that often, and it definitely didn't feel like it ruined the experience. So.
I just want to end on a happy note while I've just remembered something else, which is that the story of the game is also really good. Like, the whole premise is that Cuphead and Mugman go to King Dice's casino. They get on a winning streak, and then the devil comes out and he's like, win again, and you can get everything in my casino, or if you lose, I get your souls. And they go, all right. And then you have to go and collect the souls of all these people. And it's a really good story, because there's like little bits of story come out as you play through, like the Elder Kettle turns up, and he's like, ah, I think I have a way for you to beat the devil, but keep going at his game for now. And it's a nice bit of world building, like even for a very small game,
yeah,
it still feels... Like they've got a properly really good character to them, and there's several characters in it aside from the bosses, obviously, or the actual people that speak, who are really interesting in their own way. So it's good.
Yeah,
good game. I enjoyed it.
Definitely. So let's finish up with the same two questions we always ask. we always say, would we play it again? And would we recommend it? So, Ben, would you play it again?
Yeah, I would. I might play it again in a minute.
Nice.
I think I'm definitely going to try and finish it in single player because of the limitation of it being local co-op only.
Mm.
Apparently you can game stream it, and some people have, but I don't think I want to try that. But due to the way that... I mean, I'm only probably going to play it with you because
yeah.
you're the only one I know who would enjoy a game of this difficulty and just keep throwing yourself back at it relentlessly. So we might do it again, but realistically I'll probably finish it in single player. But if we lived like close to each other rather
than,
you know, in different countries, then we would probably finish this. I would imagine we would go through it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm in the same boat, really. I mean, I'm contemplating purchasing it when you go home so that I can continue playing it and, you know, maybe go through the stages on hard, because you say they have a hard difficulty, right?
There is a hard difficulty, and I believe there's even one beyond that.
Oh.
A master difficulty. And there's videos, obviously, on YouTube and stuff of people doing it on the master difficulty without taking any damage.
Always, right? There's always someone, some bastard out there who's really good.
There's apparently a way, there's like a secret. I think if you finish it in hard, or I could be getting this completely wrong, but I believe if you finish it in hard, you unlock like a black and white filter, so you can make it look like all black and white, which would be quite nice. I'd quite like to see that.
Nice, nice.
So there is stuff to unlock. There's little secrets to find around the place.
Challenge accepted. So my final question to you, Ben, would you recommend it?
Oh, definitely.
As a co-op game?
As a co-op game, I would definitely recommend it. I think it's a great game to play with friends because there's a good sense of kinship while you're playing it because you are working together to take these things down. It's like, oh, no, come save me. And then you get like these epic saves. It's like, oh, I'm back. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun to play two players, I think. It's a great couch co-op experience.
Mm. Yeah, and I hate to just copy you, but yes, it's... I would say if this sort of game is your cup of tea, then
oh, God. I'm done.
But no, if this is a sort of game you like, then I think it's really good in co-op, and I appreciate the fact the second player doesn't just feel tacked on; it feels like it's been slightly rebalanced and made designed to work as a two-player co-op game.
Yeah.
Like the revive mechanic is really good, and I think it actually. If anything, I think it's probably better to lose with a friend.
Yeah.
Because you can kind of, but you were so close. And when like one of you dies at phase two the other one gets to phase three, you're like, come on, Ben, kill the bastard. I don't want to do it again. And then you get really close. So it's,
there was elation when we finally slayed that dragon.
And then we saw what was next. But no, I would highly recommend it as a co-op experience. If you like... I'm not going to say too hard, but difficult platform
challenging.
Games.
Challenging platform game.
So that's great. Thanks for listening. And go check out some more episodes on our website, www.connectingtohost.co.uk. Some of our last shows, like Elite Dangerous and Star Wars Battlefront, and the classic Rocket League, of course, if you want to hear about those. We'd love to hear about any games you'd like us to review. Just send us a message on Twitter at CDHcast. And if you like the show, we would love it if you left us an iTunes review. So thanks ever so much for listening.